Hi, I'm Mike Holvey, President and CEO of the RAB, and this is Radio on Main Street, the podcast that's all about radio. Recently, we attended the NAB show in Las Vegas. During that time, we had the opportunity to sit down with thought leaders from the industry and talk about their plans for the future, how they're collaborating with the RAB, focused on advertiser outcomes, as well as ideating with fellow broadcasters as this industry continues to transform. We want to thank our friends at Inco and Benstown for allowing us to bring the Radio on Main Street podcast booth to the NAB show exhibit floor yet again this year. Well, in the sixth episode of our series, you will hear a conversation that I had with one of radio's greatest advocates, Pierre Bouvard, the chief inside officer at Westwood One and Cumulus Media. In this timely conversation, Pierre hits on some key topics, including advertising and economic uncertainty, creative best practices, and how the industry is collaborating on changing advertiser perspectives.
Thanks to our great friends at Inco, we are here in a virtual but real world. Pierre Bouvard from Westwood One and Cumulus is joining us. He is the guru of insights. And Pierre, at this conference, I've heard it more than once because I'm the one that has said it. At some point, for all of the work that you have been doing and all of the work that you are going to do on behalf of the radio broadcast industry, there will come a time when you will win a Nobel Peace Prize or a reasonable facsimile thereof from the radio industry. Thank you for all that you've been doing for our amazing industry. And we are at a time when we truly are better together and we're working together, right? And the work that you're doing and others has really made a lot of that possible.
Well, Mike, I have to tell you, we have at Westwood One an unbelievable ad sales research and insights team led by Lauren Vetrano and Justin Thomas, and they are unbelievable at working with advertisers and agencies and telling radio stories. So it's really fun to work with such a great team.
Well, telling radio story is something that you've been very good at for a very long period of time. I'm going to ask you during our discussion, but not just yet, to share the Pierre Bouvard story. You know, it may be a major motion picture. But truly at this point in time, we look at the political winds that blow. We're looking at the economic winds that are blowing. We look at the reality of, you know, a lot of companies in our space have some concern. And you have been center to some of those, and looking back at in the not too distant past from some reassuring perspectives, but we've got work to do and there are questions.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, when it's a time of economic uncertainty and anxiety, you know, one of the easiest questions to ask is, you know, should I pull back my advertising? Should I dial it down? Should I stop? And luckily, some really smart organizations have gone past to look at historical periods of economic unrest and come up with a lot of learnings. And these are organizations who devote themselves to marketing effectiveness, like the Advertising Research Foundation, the Ehrenberg Bass Institute of Marketing Science, the IPA, Kantar, Nielsen, et cetera. And we've kind of looked at all of this work that they've done, and they have come back with kind of like seven recommendations for advertisers during a time of economic uncertainty. And the first one sounds a little esoteric, but it's make sure your share of voice is bigger than your market share. So what does that mean? So imagine you're a furniture store and you're in a market and there's about $100 million of furniture sales and you do about $10 million, so you've got about a 10 share. And in terms of advertising, there's about maybe, let's say, $10 million of advertising in the category and you have about $1 million ad budget for your chain in your town. So you have about a 10% share of voice, which is my spend over market spend or my gross rating points over market gross rating points or whatever. And your market share is about 10%, so you're kind of balanced. And what the gurus say that if you have a share of voice that's about the same as your market share, You're spending just enough to be stable. Mm. Not going to grow, but you're not going to erode. But if you underspend your share, that is a prediction that your business will erode in revenue. If you overspend your share, that is a predictor of growth. And so during times of economic uncertainty, it's good to say, okay, how much spending is going on in my category? What am I spending? What's my share of voice? What's my market share? And so if you have a 10% market share and your share of voice is 12, so you're just overspending, getting a little bit of extra share of voice, that is a way to kind of grow when the market grows. And so that's kind of like the first recommendation. And now, you know, you have to check it monthly because competitors might come in, might come out. You might have a situation where the whole category slows down spending, and if you maintain, your share of voice could go to a 15 or to a 20.
It accelerates.
Which makes you a really big presence in the market and predicts future growth. So that's kind of like the first recommendation.
Pulling back is not on that list yet.
No. No. The World Advertising Research Council, WARC, says continue to advertise because they say it can take up to 5 years to recover from going dark. And the Ehrenberg Bass Institute of Marketing Science and their scientists over there look at small, medium, and big brands that have like cut spend. If you're a big, giant brand, you can coast for a year or two, and then things start to go south. If you're a medium brand, you can coast for maybe about a year, and then things go south. If you're a small brand, a small retailer, things get ugly pretty quick in terms of your business. So if you're on the smaller side, really hang in there, keep advertising to maintain what you've got. The other thing is there's always a pickup. There's always a point where, you know, things come back. And if you've been brand building all the way through, then people are going to turn to you because you have to be known before you're needed.
I love that phrase. You use it a lot. You know, I you think about human nature, and we're going to continue with the list, but you think about human nature, and when you see these slowdowns, and you immediately go into almost a protectionist mode, right? And our local sellers who are watching this, and our local managers who are watching these things happen, and the local advertisers who are pulling back, they need some comfort. They need some reassurance.
Right.
A couple of these pieces really speak to that.
Yep. One of the most useful things you can do during a time of economic uncertainty is really take a hard look at your creative. Mm-hmm. Now, why look at the creative? A lot of marketing effectiveness gurus say that the quality of the creative drives 50% of your sales effect. 50%. And a lot of times our sales creative is kind of like sales events and this and that. And what the gurus say is make your ads more emotion-based. Make people feel something, whether it's a lump in the throat, laughter, surprise, happiness. And what they say is with the same budget, or even a budget that's a little bit smaller, if you make your creative more emotional and more brand building, you can actually make your money work harder for you. And there's a lot of like empirical evidence that if you look at rational copy, which is like facts and figures and here's the sale, and then emotional copy, which makes you feel something, that emotional copy works better across every possible brand equity dimension like awareness, favorability, intention to purchase, but also across hard-edged business outcomes like price sensitivity, sales, share growth, loyalty, things like that. So focus on the creative and make it more emotional.
You look back over time, you know, let's say 9/11 and deep, deep economic times. The Great Recession, 2 years that people were very, very concerned. And then the pandemic. But now we're in a little bit of a time here where people may look back at this time and start comparing it to the last three that I just mentioned.
Yeah, one of the things I remember very clearly that there was a lot of predictions in 2010. What do we think auto sales are going to be? And, you know, it was a plus two, plus one, plus three. And 2010 ended up being like an explosion in sales. I think it was like high single digits or something like that. So a lot of times the recovery comes unexpectedly, and it often sometimes comes back roaring. And that's why you really need to think about, so there's brand building advertising, which makes me feel something, then there's sales event stuff. Keep going on that brand building, because when things come back, and they often come back quick, you want to have built up really strong positive memories with your customers. Here's an interesting local auto statistic. Scarborough looked across 400,000 questionnaires, and there's a question they ask, which is, if you were to shop for a new or used car, name a place you would go. Could be CarMax, could be a local dealer. 36% of Americans could not name one retailer. 36%. So your dealership has probably been in the market for many years. You think you're famous. You think everybody knows and loves you. But what we found is that in every city, new people arrive all the time. And so, yes, people that have been in the market for 20 years know your dealer, but people that have been there like 10 to 20 years, not as much. 5 to 10 years, not as much. 0 to 5 years, not as much. So there's a real need for dealers to not just do the price sale thing, but just to say, why should you come to my dealer? What makes my dealer special? Be memorable about them. And the fact that literally 1 out of 3 Americans cannot name one retailer for a new car purchase, no one can declare victory that I'm famous or my brand is so well known.
Well, you are, and again, we're going down the list of 7 things that are in our control here in economic times, such as we're facing and that have kind of accelerated somewhat quickly for various reasons. You had shared a slide here at NAB, and I think it was the 95-5 rule.
Yes, yes.
So, you know, part of Pierre's greatest hits. This is part of the application process that's going in for the Nobel Peace Prize. But the 95-5, and it just backs up what you just said. But it has to do with who's in the market when.
Yes, yes.
And if you spend all of your marketing focusing on the wrong number.
Yes.
It can impact your, it will impact your
yes.
business.
So 5% of people on average are in market around this time, like in the short term, for something. Heating and ventilation, new air conditioner, new auto, kitchen remodel, you name it. Those people don't have to be convinced to go shopping. They're ready to make a sale. So you have to, you know, have a sales event or something that can really catch their attention and try to get them to come to you. But 95% of the rest are not in the market. They're not interested in the sales event. They're not paying attention. So to become memorable with them, you have to do different stuff. It's not about a sale. It's about being memorable, being entertaining, and trying to create awareness. And one of the case studies that we talked about in our session was a pest control company out of Columbia, Missouri called Steve's Pest Control. And he started his business with his wife Anita 30 years ago with one van and just had just enough money to buy on a small radio station. And every year took 8.5% of his revenue and put it into radio. And as his business grew, he kept buying more stations and being on more. Well, flash forward, he now has 90 vans. And a brand study conducted into the market revealed that he is the most famous name in pest control. He crushes Orkin, he crushes Terminix. He did it with radio. And his ads are not about sales. They are funny and entertaining. And he has a great jingle, "You've got a friend in the pest control business." But he truly is the epitome of being known before you're needed. You have no idea when you're going to need pest control. It's not something you plan on. many categories are not something you say, gee, I'm going to do this. So you have to be known, and the most powerful search engine in the world is your memory. So I think that case study is a great lesson for how advertising works. It's not about what ad I ran last week and what happened next week. It's more about what have you been doing over an extended period of time to become famous.
You made a comment. Search engine. The number one search engine is your mind.
Yes.
You made a comment in our session this week at NAB, and you said, how do you search for something that you don't know? I'm quoting, but I think I'm pretty accurate.
Yeah.
And this type of the 95-5 rule approaches that, go give me something to look for.
Right. And imagine if you did a survey in your market, and let's say you're a furniture brand or have a chain, and you ask a couple hundred people, I want you to think about the furniture category. Please name a furniture chain or store that you can think of, and you can give me as many as you want. Most of the time, the number one brand is don't know.
Yeah.
Where people literally cannot name one retailer in a category. Now, in the case of Steve's, one out of three people in Columbia immediately say Steve's. And then when you give them a list, something like 70% will say, I've heard of Steve's. So that's, to be honest, that is the one best practice, is just become famous.
All right, you have clearly fallen in love with Steve's Pest Control.
Yes.
Clearly. So in your house, your wife sees a bug. Who do you got? And you live a long way from Steve's.
Yes.
Would you have Steve come halfway across the country to kill your bug?
Yes. Well, it's about 1,045 miles.
You've looked at it.
So, because I want to know, between Madison Avenue and Columbia, how big of a distance is it? I don't know if he could make that distance. But what's interesting is actually Steve, I believe, strongly knows more about how advertising works than most people on Madison Avenue.
Isn't that amazing? And you've seen it live.
Yes.
That's cool. All right, well, let's get back to advice and counsel and best practices for, our salespeople, our sales managers, our ownership, our leadership at this time.
Yes. So the last one that I'll leave you with is use radio to elevate the media plan. So you could be buying linear TV and spot cable and Google and Facebook and Instagram, et cetera. And let's say you have to kind of shrink your budget down a little bit. If you take 10 to 20% of that money and put it in radio, your reach will explode. You'll probably go from about a 50 reach for that big media plan to about a 70 reach. So radio makes your TV better. Radio elevates the media plan. So if you want to, even in challenging economic times, find a way to really grow reach and be known before you're needed, shift 10 to 20% of your media plan into AM and FM radio.
The resources that you talked about today are available on your blog.
Yeah, so westwoodone.com/blog. You'll see we publish a weekly audio case study and insight. There's a little search box, so you could search for Steve's if you wanted. And there's also a link where you can sign up to get the weekly audio case study sent to your email box.
Well, we want to thank you for all that you have done for the industry. And clearly, we've been partnering for a long time, but intensely here in the last 6 to 8 months. The materials that have been made available in front of much like you, everything is available to anyone.
Yep. Each week there's a video, a quick YouTube explainer video. You can download the slides, and there's the executive summary.
And the This Is Radio suite, I call it a suite. Tammy Greenberg would probably appreciate that. The One Voice for Radio, again, all of those materials. You played a big role in that. We're only just beginning.
Yes.
Which is very exciting.
All right.
I promised that, an inside scoop on Pierre, but now we've absolutely run out of our time. So on our next podcast, the question that Pierre will have to answer is, how did you get here? But we'll wait for our next episode on that. Pierre, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
With his unique insights and the voice that Pierre provides, radio sellers and advertisers alike find actionable takeaways in this conversation, including the importance of making sure your share of voice as an advertiser is larger than your share of market during economic fluctuations. Plus, my pitch for Pierre to win the Nobel Peace Prize. My thanks to Pierre Bouvard for that amazing conversation.
If you'd like to learn more about radio and its many benefits, we invite you to visit us at rab.com, or you can email us directly at askrab@rab.com. Until next time, it's Radio on Main Street.